Let us pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for the joy of life, for the beauty of this day, for hope and encouragement, for the days of the future, and for the privilege and opportunity of Christian fellowship and service. We are grateful today that Thou hast called us to this place, that we may open our hearts to Thee, feel the nearness of Thy presence, sense the wonder of Thy love, and find in Thee the fulfillment of all of our dreams and our ambitions and our hopes. Give us, we pray, the guidance of Thy Holy Spirit, and give us warm and meaningful words from the speaker who comes to share with us out of the depth of his experience and his knowledge of Thee. Open our hearts and our minds to the truth which Thou dost bring to us in so many ways, and walk with us day by day, even though in our humble and feeble ways we so often fall short of doing Thy will. We thank Thee that Thou dost love us and accept us, and we pray that we may be worthy of the trust Thou hast placed in us as Thy children, Thy servants. To the glory of Jesus Christ, our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. It is my great pleasure today to present to you our chapel speaker and leader in worship. He needs no introduction to many of us, but some of you who have come lately perhaps have not had the opportunity to meet him. Dr. M. Ray McKay was for a number of years professor of homiletics or preaching in our faculty. Dr. McKay was born in Missouri. He is a graduate of Shirtless College and of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary with the THM and PhD degrees. He served pastorates in Aurora, Illinois and Topeka, Kansas, and at Second Baptist Church in Little Rock, Arkansas, from which pastorate he came to the faculty of Southeastern Seminary in 1952. It was my joy and pleasure to serve with him as a colleague in the area of preaching for a number of years. He retired in 1964, holds now the title of Professor Emeritus of Preaching, but when he retired, he did not retire from activity. Dr. McKay has been active in interim pastorates and holding revivals and in teaching responsibilities both here and outside of the bounds of the United States, and continues to be a very much sought after speaker in many instances. We're delighted that Dr. McKay could come and lead us in this chapel worship this morning. Mrs. McKay is with him in the audience here by Dr. Blackmore, and it's always our pleasure to have Dr. and Mrs. McKay back on the campus again. They're living in Raleigh now, not so very far away. We don't get to see them as often as we'd like, but we're glad when they can come. And with pleasure, we will hear Dr. McKay after the anthem.
Oh, especially grateful for the loveliness of the anthem, which has just been a part of our worship service this morning. And I'm sure I speak for you too when I say thank you to the young man and to Johnson for the good music. I'm reading for you this morning from Moffat's translation of the 37th Psalm. I'm reading just selected verses, so I don't believe you'll do any good following, but would help you maybe if we listen instead of try to read. Fret not over evildoers, envy not the lawless. Soon like grass they fade away and wither like a green blade. Trust in the Lord and do right. Be loyal to him within his land. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desire. Leave all to him, rely on him, and he will see to it. He will bring your innocence to light and make the justice of your cause clear as noonday. Rest in the Lord. Be patient. Fret not over the successful man who aims to slay the wicked and carries out his wicked plans. Root out anger. Fret not, it only leads to evil. Evildoers shall indeed be rooted out, and the land left to those who wait for the Lord. A little longer, and the godless shall be no more. Look in his haunts, he is there no more. The land will be left to the humble. The little that a good man has is better than a godless man's great wealth. When a man's life pleases the Lord, he gives him a sure footing. He may fall, but he never falls down. Wait for the Lord. Hold on to him. He will save you. I saw the godless man once upon a time, a real terror, towering like a cedar of Lebanon. Then as I passed by, he was gone. I looked for him. He was not to be found. Hold to integrity. Remain upright. There is a future for the peaceable. My topic this morning is when the hill is steep. When the hill is steep, and the hills that we climb are steep. Sometimes it's the burdens of the routine day. Sometimes it's economic difficulties, sometimes health, sometimes disasters, sometimes temptations. The hill is often steep and inescapable, but there's help. And the help is near enough, and it is so adequate that we can master the hill and become real mountain climbers, rejoicing in the privileges and the responsibilities of life. Now the psalmist in this 37th Psalm gives us remarkable and practical help, which can be put to the test of experience. This psalm is something to be practiced, and by the practice, one comes into great profit. He gives first of all, the psalmist gives first of all, two negative commands. He said, if you're going to make it up the hill of life, you need to leave off two things in particular. And then he names five positive things that you must do in order to become a successful hill climber. First, and maybe most important of these negative commands, because it occurs three times, I read it three times in the psalm. He says, fret not. Don't get all hot and bothered. Well, don't get all hot and bothered because the wicked are getting along real fine. Sometimes that is a little bother. You see men in high places, and there is so much of wickedness, and you're such a good fella, and they're getting along fine and you aren't. You get a little hot and bothered about it. Fret not thyself because of that. Fret not thyself because some men prosper and you don't get along so well. Fret not thyself in any wise, because it simply makes the hill climbing more difficult. This fretting limits the ability of the man who does the fretting to climb the hill. So that's the first thing we need to leave off. Just don't get all hot and bothered. Take it a little easier mentally and emotionally. Second, says the psalmist, root out anger. Root out anger. Now, both fretting and anger arise a good deal of the time from deep-seated selfishness. We get mad because things don't go the way we want them to go. Often. So, because we want things to go the way we want them to go, we're mad about it. And anger incapacitates the man who indulges in it. I don't know how you like this speech so far, but as far as I'm concerned, I don't like it much. Both of these bother me. Fret not yourself. That bothers me. Root out anger. And that troubles me even more. Both of them are problems. But he says, if you're really going to get up those hills, these things must be eliminated. So right now, I expect to go on practicing them, seeing if I can't get better at this business of leaving off the fretting and rooting out the anger. That's the two negatives. And then, just to keep Brother Scoggins from getting uneasy, I always quit a little early, but he is a little old and forgetful and doesn't remember always, and sometimes gets a little fidgety, and you'll notice that his watch is getting a little worn on the outside because he rubs it and looking at it. But anyhow, now there are five positive commandments. First, lean on the Lord. Lean on the Lord. That's a literal word. Lean on the Lord. Your old translation is trust in the Lord. Well, that trust is an active thing. You lean on the Lord. And that's something that needs practice, to be experienced if it's to be useful to you. I suppose about 3 years ago now that Dr. Bland and I were playing golf on a brilliant, hot August afternoon. It had gotten to be just a little after 3 o'clock. We were just ready to start up, Cardiac Hill. So, 7, isn't it out there? And we both drove and got up the hill quite a little way. In those days, I was a little older and less vigorous than I am now. And so this hill, dragging this cart and clubs, this hill did seem to me to be a little steep, though I hadn't thought about any dangerous quality. But it must have looked a little tired or something, because it went up the hill. Dr. Bland put it, never said a word. Just put his arm around me, and we just about went up that hill with no effort at all. It's a thing I always remember. The strength of the arm of a friend. No talk about it, just to help. Well, of course, right there, Bland was going a little ahead of what the psalmist is saying, because he was sharing his strength with somebody else and doing better by it. Well, carry one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, if you want to take it a little further than the psalmist did. But that's the first step. And the second step, delight thyself in the Lord. Learn to be happy in fellowship with God. Now, when I was a boy, I reckon 10, 12 years old, out in the country, a young man came to hold a meeting. I remember his name and his blonde hair. Johnny Huff held a meeting out there in the country. He stayed with my uncle, and he spent his afternoons out under a big tree way out in the pasture doing his studying. And I remember once when I stopped by and he was just coming in, he said, "I had a good time with God this afternoon." Never forgot that. He had learned to rejoice in the Lord. He had learned to maintain his zest for prayer by thanksgiving. That's something to be practiced and something to help us. Third, commit thy way unto the Lord. The picture underneath is roll up the pathway ahead into a ball, roll it up, and toss it to the Lord. And according to Moffat's translation, he'll see to it. The King James just says he will work in the situation. But you roll up the problem of the present and the future and toss it over to the Lord. He will look after it. He will see to it. And that one also challenges our courage to practice. Four, rest in the Lord. Yield yourself to the Lord. Now, it is true that in any of these statements, we need a personal experience with somebody we're coming to know better all the time. So relax about the opposite of the threat. Relax. Relax in the Lord. If his resources are adequate, if his arm strong is about you, you will certainly make it up the hill. I never knew my mother. She passed away when I was a little less than 4 years old. But they told me that the old hymn you may never have heard, and I haven't in a long, long time, her favorite, they said, was leaning on the everlasting arm. What have I to fear? What have I to dread? Leaning on the everlasting arm. That's learning to rest in the Lord. And fifth, he said, wait on the Lord. Now that's so easy to misinterpret because of the translation. It's not wait until God catches up. He's not behind. Even you're having hard times because you haven't stayed very close to him. Not that kind of waiting. It is a personal act of exercising expectant faith. Expectant faith is waiting on the Lord. My first pastorate after I left the seminary was in rural Illinois. Around the old first church there was a wall. It had been filled inside, but outside on the sidewalk, that wall was as high as a man's head. My little daughter, oh, something less than 2 years old, Mrs. McKay always had her dressed up real nice, and she would run down that wall that was level with the inside there, would run down that wall. And if I had gone on and it got to be a sort of ceremony, I went on down on the sidewalk, and when she ran along there, I reached up my arm and she leaped into my arm. That's waiting on her daddy. Even now it seems to me it was too dangerous and reckless a business for a daddy, but not for God. You wait on the Lord. Look with eager expectation to Him. Now, the poet has put it in the same truth in a different figure when he said, I cannot row it myself, my boat on the raging sea, but beside me sits another who pulls and steers with me, and I know that we too shall come safe into port, his child and he. Coward and wayward and weak, I change with the changing sky. Today so eager and brave, tomorrow not caring to try, but he never gives in. So we two shall win, Jesus and I. Therefore I will climb the upward road today. I will keep my face to the light. I will think high thoughts as I go my way. I will do what I know is right. I will look for flowers by the side of the road. I will laugh and love and be strong. I'll try to lighten another's load this day as I fare along. Let us stand. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Father, the companionship, conviction, and guidance of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you now and always. Mm-hmm.